go on. Amen? So, praise God. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to I'll make you work for it this morning. Go to the book of Lamentations. Hoo-hoo. Just find Jeremiah, and it's the next book. Little bitty small book. You know, I've been preaching this message. I've been preaching this message about discipleship and about we as Christians and how we're supposed to be walking on the face of this earth. And one of the main things that I've been on and just can't get off of is that we need as a church, we need as a people, we need as Christians, as individuals, we need to have godly conviction within our life. And so many times we think of conviction as simply the guilt we feel when we do something wrong, and that's not what I'm preaching on. I'm talking about the conviction of God where the voice of Jesus Christ speaks to you. This man that was just talking here over in Indo, Jesus spoke to his heart. He's living now by the conviction of his heart. You see what I'm saying? He goes against everything that he believes. He goes against all that he was taught, everything that was going on. He goes against that. Y'all with me? Because something happened. He heard the voice of Jesus. Conviction came within his heart. Folks, if we do not live our lives by conviction, I'm not talking, well, the church said to all, Pastor Robert said to, no, I'm talking about conviction. We've got to live a life by conviction. We do what we do because we know that's what Jesus wants us to do. Folks, then all of a sudden your whole world changes. It's not, well, you know, I don't know. You know, it seems to me that too many Christians nowadays are trying to find what church suits them, and then they go to the church that suits them because that's where they're least convicted. Where we ought to go to the church that most convicts us, where we hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us wide open, broad open, doesn't make any difference what's on the door, whether it's what the name of the church is, what it's called, as long as we're in a place where Jesus speaks to us. That's what we've got to hear, church. And we've got to get conviction down in life. I want to tell y'all something. I'm not going to say he's my hero yet, but somebody that I want you to start praying for is Mitt Romney, the presidential candidate. Jumped on President Obama about his abortion issues. I said, way to go. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. All right? And I had some issues with him in the presidential debates because of his Mormon belief. But now I'm glad that at least he has moral conviction in his life. And he's up in the president's face saying, you can't do what you're doing. So praise God for that. So I look at it this way. I said all that I said last week. And we got this week's news. Mitt Romney jumped on the president. All your prayers got heard and answered. I don't know if anybody else was praying. We were. Living Waters Church affected heaven. And Mitt Romney stood up and said, you can't do that. So that's how effective your prayers are. Amen. So imagine this week when you pray, what's going to happen? You know, we'll get a few more speaking. And so then that's going to stop that bull. Anyway, then we went on talking about that you're not going to be able to live your conviction unless you're willing to sacrifice. The world, we want everything handed to us. We want everything placed in our lap. I mean, you know, we go to fast food restaurants nowadays and you're mad because you didn't get your food fast enough. And it's already fast food. Wow. There's this restaurant that I never eat in Guatemala. It's really nice at this hotel. It's really nice, one of the upper places to eat. But what I don't like to eat there because it's a service. I mean, it's like an hour and a half to get your food. And so I'm the kind of person that, like when I get there to the restaurant, you know, my enzymes kick in and I'm ready to eat. And I don't want some little piece of toast with some little pate on it and then just supposed to tide me over. I want my food. I want it and I want it now. Well, I was telling Yuri, the guy that runs the orphanage down there, I said, hey, you know, I said, let's don't go eat over there. I said, then they're so slow. He starts laughing. He says, you know, I have a friend that went there and was working as a waiter in the place. And he said that they do that on purpose because that's the European way of eating, that you take time between your meals. I said, well, I'm already hungry by the time I get to the end of my food, you know. I said, it's ridiculous it takes so long. And he says, yeah, if you tell them, no, we want it like Americans. We want to bring our food on out fast. Then they do it. And I didn't even know it. But I thought to myself, man, these guys, I could have got my food quick. But they were waiting. And that just drives me nuts. Anyway. But sometimes in life, we have to sacrifice, right? We have to wait and sacrifice in life for the good things. And I just want you to know, everything is not instant. Everything is not that. We have to make sacrifices on our part if we're going to walk then and do what Jesus told us to do. And the third thing I was talking to you about in these last few weeks is about that the call of God for each and every one of you is individual. You have to remember that. Don't be out there living your life, comparing your life with everybody else. The call of God upon our lives is individual. We're corporately worshiping here today. We corporately come into Living Waters Church. But individually, God speaks to each and every one of you. And if he's going to speak to me like he'd speak to a cowboy, and he's going to speak to you like he'd speak to whatever business that you're involved in or whatever, and this is your... Listen, it's individual. I give... Poor Pastor Jeremy just fits all the time about the way he dresses and I'm just on him all the time. Finally, I broke down and compromised. I said, you got to have shoes on at least. I can't take flip-flops on the stage. That's it. But that's me. That's all my individual thing. I just can do that to him because I'm pastor. Okay? But the way he worships Jesus and all, that's individual. The way he dresses in the day that he comes and he's pastoring his own church, he can wear flip-flops. So as long as he's here with me, he's going to have to wear shoes. I'm just not going to force him into boots. I mean, I think that anybody that loves Jesus should have on boots, but I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Not really. But you follow what I'm saying? It's an individual call for your life. Everything is individual, all right? And then this fourth part, which I have never gotten, I feel almost embarrassed that we started this message out 3 weeks ago with the 22 blessings of obedience, and I've not gotten to... We're on number 3 or 4 this morning. That's it, you know. And so I have no idea how we're going to finish this, but I can't get off of this about obedience, okay? And there's a verse here in the book of Lamentations I want to read to you in just a second. But I want to set this up for just a minute. There's two kinds of obedience, all right? The first kind of obedience, parents, you understand, because you want your children to serve and do what you want them to do and be obedient, but sometimes they're just submitting to authority. They really don't want to do what you want them to do. And they're only doing it because you said to do it. So they're doing it grudgingly. They're doing it with a frown, and it's their heart's not really in it, but they're just being obedient to you as their parents. You know what I'm talking about? The other day, it wasn't much joy. It should have been joy. And my daughter's not here this morning, so I can pick on her. We were having this conversation, and she says, you know, I got to tell you something, Dad. She said, you know, what you told me about 18 years ago about listening to music, you know? She says, I really found that true in my life, and as I've changed the style of music to listen to, I feel like there's a whole lot more peace in my life and everything. And I was like, are you saying I did tell you right? Wait, do I detect that the old man did know what was right? And she's like, don't push it, Dad. But yes, how many times I have looked in the mirror at myself and seen my father. I look in the mirror and I see my father and I was like, now I know why you did what you did, Dad. Because when I'm that age, now I'm understanding things that I did not understand before. There's a lot of things I did in life that I did just out of obedience based upon submission to authority. You with me? Have you ever noticed when you drive down the road, the yellow signs that state how fast you should go around curves? Suggestions, yes. Those suggestive signs that tell you how fast you should take the corner. You know, most of the time, you don't pay much attention to them. Am I right? Especially if you know the road, and you're familiar with the road, and it says 45, you say, oh, I can do it at 60, no big deal, you know, and it's just a suggestion. But how many road signs on our lives that we come across that are suggestions, road signs flashing to us that say, hey, the road you're going on is not going to bring you victory. That is not the path you should be going. Don't do that. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that place. Slow down. Take the corner different. But we don't do it because, see, it's not in our heart. There's a complete difference of being obedient that your heart's in it and obedience because you're just in submission to authority. There's going to be a day come, and you can go read about it in Revelations 19 and 20, where the world is going to be before the great white throne of God. And that day, they're going to find out what submission to authority is, because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they like to do it or not. And I can tell you, it's not in their heart, because if it would have been in their heart, they would not be there. See, people always want to challenge me all the time, and whenever I travel around the world, say, "Well, yeah, but what about, you know, what about the Indians? What about this?" I said, "Listen, I don't know. I can't go through and explain everything to you. I can't explain all that. All I know is no one will be at the great white throne, judgment of God, unless that person's heart was hard. Because my God is compassionate enough. My God is great enough. My God is big enough to have presented the gospel to them time and time again through one situation or another. And they have rejected it and rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. But there'll be a day that all their rejection, all their life of hell they wanted to live, comes to completion. And they're still going to have to bow. But they're not going to bow out of a heart of love for a great God that they want to serve. They're going to bow because they're submitted to authority. They have to. Y'all with me? Too many Christians are trying to live and serve God out of obedience, but their obedience is not an obedience of a heart of love. Their obedience is to say, well, we've got to. I mean, you know, he'll get us if we don't. When it comes to orphans, I'm not very compassionate. I mean, I'm compassionate towards orphans, but anybody that's abusing orphans, I'm not compassionate at all. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm tough. I'm hard. God has to deal with me all the time. We work with agencies in Guatemala that are international lawyers, and anybody that comes in there that has abused a child and prostituted them or done horrible things to the children, we prosecute them to the maximum. We turn them loose. We turn them in, turn the lawyers on them, sick them. And if they throw them in the darkest dungeons, they can find Jesus down there. But boy, they're going to. I mean, I'd like to have a van all blacked out. And we don't go. Let's like go on hunting trips. You know, guys just get together, rubber hoses. You know. If the Lord would let me, I imagine I could get plenty of volunteers to want to go. You guys would love to do that. But anyway, my point is that I just don't have compassion for that. Because I can't understand it. I can't understand how a person can abuse a child. A cat? Yeah. I don't like cats. But anyway, a person? No. And so you want people to submit, but, you know, if you have to, it's out of fear. And people are serving God out of the wrong kind of servitude. They're serving God because if I go do it, then God's going to get me. If I don't do it, God's going to get me. If I do it wrong, God's going to get me. Oh, I must have messed up and God's after me. Instead of serving God the second way of obedience based upon wisdom. You serve God based upon wisdom, then that takes us into the place of Proverbs chapter 2 where it says, Proverbs chapter 1, where it says that the first initial step to have any wisdom in life is to have the fear of the Lord. And that fear doesn't mean scared and trembling. That fear means worship, respect, honor, loyalty, that kind of fear. In the book of Lamentations chapter 3, this is the lament, the crying, the sorrows of the prophet Jeremiah as he sees his beautiful city of Jerusalem, the city of David, the place that's supposed to be the awesome high pinnacle of worship, being destroyed all because Israel would not serve God. All right? And he knows that. He knows it didn't have to go that way, but they chose that way. And so he starts in he starts here in verse 22. And he's looking over the city being destroyed, and he says, "Though the Lord's mercies, or through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Wendy, put it to me, put it up in King James. This is one time I think King James, the Old English, translated this so perfectly. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Folks, listen to me. If there was ever a person on the face of this earth that needed to be swept up in a dustpan, fried, it was me. I know it because I know that my abilities, my whatever I had offered could offer nothing to God. I want you to understand something. Without the blood of Jesus, even on my life today, I cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God. Being a preacher, all this, it doesn't count anything that when I'm dealing with the perfection of God, who God is. And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I have to remember that every day of my life, I'm so thankful and so grateful that Jesus made a way for me, that there was somebody who was willing to die for me so I could get in. And that gratefulness is what is one of the steps of wisdom in my life. That makes me want to serve God more and more each and every day. Because his compassions fail not. Now, just stop there for a minute. Let me just say a few things. People are fickle. You watch what I say. I'll prophesy this. You give our president, who looks so good to the media, man that can't do anything wrong, let this economy go south a little more, and you watch what starts being said about him. You watch how they're going to start taking him to the cleaners. You watch what's going to turn on him. That friendly media that put him in there, all of a sudden is going to be saying all kinds of unbelievable things. Oh, it'll take a little while. It'll take a little while, but then, you know, it's going to come around. It's going to come around. Because people are fickle. And when they don't get what they want, they start to get ugly. But the Lord doesn't do that. God doesn't do that to you. God made us. He created us. And his heart was set and his eyes were set to see us walk in the things that he created for us. And his eyes are always completely focused towards getting you into the blessings. He says, his compassion fails not. Now, just hold your finger there. Hold your finger there and go over to the book of Malachi chapter 3. I did that for you, Drew. Went to the book of Malachi. Chapter 3. Verse 6. God speaks. He says, "For I am the Lord and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." You see, God is not a God who wakes up one morning and says, "You know, I just about had it with you. I don't understand why you can't get that straight in your life. I put up with you. I've given you grace. I've allowed this happen, but you're just not. So now you're going to get it." But there's a lot of people, Christians, who confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of their life, who live that way. Thinking they're scared to go out of the house and drive down the road because something bad's going to happen to them because they kicked the cat that morning. Ugly to the wife. Did something that's wrong. God's surely going to get me. Folks, you cannot serve God. You cannot serve God out of obedience. If you believe in your heart that he's out to do something wrong to you, because of what you did, you're not going to serve him out of obedience. You may submit to authority, but you're not going to serve him out of obedience, out of a heart of compassion, out of a heart of honor, out of a heart of loving God. You're not going to. Jeremiah, go back to Lamentations chapter 3. Let's look at that again, the King James. Verse 21. or 22, excuse me. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion, it fails not. Folks, God always is going to have compassion on you. I don't care what you did. His compassion is for you. God's for his creation. Now go to verse 23. Here we go. They're new every morning. Whoo! Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning, the tender mercies of God are new. You think you're wearing his patience thin? Last night we were keeping the grandson, and I had some sort of a, I don't know, I don't want to claim it as cedar fever, but some sort of an attack. Felt like I had a hive of bees in my nose. And so I was there, and this kid was jumping up and down like 3 hours straight. I told Laura, I said, what in the world? I mean, is he going to stop in a minute? I mean, it's going overboard here. I mean, did you give him sugar? What is the deal, Lord have mercy? Bing, 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 bing. My compassion was wearing thin. And he's my grandson. I mean, I finally went to bed. Yeah, I gotta tell y'all this. I gotta confess this, because somebody, this is gonna get out one of these days, and somebody's gonna think my wife and I have marital problems. You might as well put a wild horse in the bed and try to sleep with it as him. And so, man, when he comes to stay, it's no big deal. I go get out my hunting cot and I roll my pad out my sleeping bag, and I make my cot in my office there, and that's where I sleep. She can deal with him, and I'll get up in the morning and start over. So if you're ever at my house and you see a cop with sleeping bag in the other room, it's not because we have problems. It's because Holt will spend the night. His compassion never fails, folks. His compassion's new every morning. Can you imagine? Listen, is this not the greatest marriage? That every morning, you look at your wife, you look at your husband, and there's all new mercy. Not, I remember what you did back in 36. But I'm still mad over it. Every morning, new compassion. Woo! What a revelation for a marriage. Repent to each other every night when you go to bed. Forgive each other, and you wake up in the morning, and it's all fresh and new. Wow! Never did do anything wrong. Then that only gives you, what, 12 hours? Hopefully you don't do anything wrong when you're in your sleep. Well, I don't know about that. Like I said, I don't think irritating sounds happen. I've never heard myself snore. They say I do, but I've never heard myself snore. Wow, what an amazing revelation to live your lives that every night you forgive yourselves, and then the next morning you wake up and it's fresh and new. That's how God does it. Every morning when he looks at you, it's fresh and new. Every morning, whether you did it right or not, he did do it right. Because he's God. Fresh and new every morning. It's fresh and new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. And look at verse 24. So then he says, I'm choosing. Jeremiah saying, I'm choosing. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. In other words, he's going to serve God out of obedience of the choosing of his heart, because he believes that it's right. Not out of, I better do it or I'm going to get in trouble. If you flip over one more verse here to Deuteronomy, where we started this, chapter 4, and you look at what Moses is saying to the children of Israel, all the young people that came in at that time, And he's getting ready to try to take them into the promised land. And that's where God wants you to be, is in his promised land. He wants you to walk in that promised land. He wants you to be blessed in a promised land. But you can't do it if there's no obedience. And he says, I'm going to start reading verse 1. It says, Now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land that the Lord your God, your fathers, has given you. And you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, and to keep my commandments of the Lord your God I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, and the Lord your God was destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. And you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you the statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them, that in the land you will go in to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people, who will hear all these statutes you say, and surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that the Lord God is so near to it as to the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? Whew. He's saying, look, because you're serving God, his mercy is on you. His grace is upon you. His compassion is upon you. Mercy and wisdom is that part that comes into your life from being obedient to God. He says, and then God's going to hear you and he's going to answer you. Folks, I don't know about y'all, but I don't mean this in an ugly way or a fearful way. I don't have much faith in everybody in Congress is going to get it all figured out for me. I got very little. As men, unless I know their hearts, and I know they're really going to, they're serving God, that they, and God's speaking to them, they're operating by conviction, I think they're going to make the decision that best suits them. Because that's what man usually does, makes a decision that's best for him and his. But I want you to know, I have great confidence and great faith that when God said he's going to take care of us, that he's going to take care of us. And that as I serve him, not out of fear, but as I serve him out of wisdom and obedience, that I know that I have his mercy fresh and new towards me every day. I know that God's for me. He's not against me. I know that God's going to bring this thing to pass. God's going to come into our lives. God's going to move. That there is nothing that's going to stop him. That as a nation of Christians, I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about the people within it. See, sometimes I believe that they got it wrong. I don't believe that when the Bible says in Revelation 21 that the nations are going to go before the throne of God, I don't necessarily believe that it's nations like, okay, here comes America, da-da-da-da, here goes China, da-da-da-da-da, you know? It's not like the Olympics before God. I believe it's people that think alike. In other words, I believe it's the nation of South Texas, that all of us that have the same kind of mentality from the same area, we go before God. And then there's going to be the Indo group, and there's going to be, because there's different groups within every deal, and it's people. What's that word? I hate to reveal my ignorance. What is it that's on the, it's the type of music, it's a genre. Is genre? Is that the way you say it? How many of y'all ever heard that word before I just mentioned it right now? See, thank y'all for not raising your hands. It makes me feel we're together, united, brothers. Only reason why I know it is on the computer program that I'm trying to get in up into life, and I found out that traveling around the world, the greatest little thing is an iPod, because it's very little and I can put it in my pocket and I don't have to. I mean, I used to travel when I had, I mean, I was uptown with a CD player, you know, and a ton of CDs. And now I've just got this iPod. But on the iPod, when you go into the downloads the songs onto it, it says that word up there. And so I was like,
What is this?
What does that button do, you know? And so my wife, the higher knowledge one in the family, comes in and says, it means what type of music it is. So I'm not so sure that that's not the way it is in heaven. You know, cowboys, we go before God. Suits go before God. Surfers go before God. I don't know. That's just my own little Robert Richards thing. The point I'm trying to say out of it all is, folks, I want to serve God. If I'm in a group, I want to serve God as the group that not did it out of obedience because I'm submitting to authority, but I want to do it out of the group. I want to be in the group that loved God with their heart and was obedient to God because of who he is. Not because I'm scared I'm going to get spanked or God's going to throw a fireball down at me or life's going to be hard for me. And if you notice people, and heaven help us, and don't take any offense to this, but we try to take people and turn them into Baptists, Methodists, Charismatics, Episcopals, Catholics, you know, right on down the line. We try to take a person and get them converted and turn them into that. But what we ought to be doing is taking people and say, man, we serve God wherever you are, talk to God. If you're a surfer on the wave, talk to God. If you're a cowboy in the chute, talk to God. If you're on the back of a horse, talk to God. If you're on the back of a bike, talk to God, man. Just talk to God. That's what he's looking for. And his compassion is fresh and new every morning. And we have an obligation to present this God to the world. We have an obligation to present this God of love and compassion to the world. Not somebody that comes in and it's beat up from life and they say, well, you know, you weren't such a sinner. God might be favoring you. I know this, that didn't work with me raising my kids. So why is it we think it's going to work getting people to serve God? It isn't. So I challenge you to check your hearts. I challenge you to check your hearts and look in your heart and ask yourself the question, are you serving God out of love? Is that why you're obedient? Are you serving God out of, well, it's the right thing to do, and we need to do it, so we need to go to church this morning, because if we don't go to church, you know, the week's going to be bad. Something's going to happen. Amen? And we're going to have communion this morning. Ladies, if y'all could go ahead and bring the communion down. Here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord,